Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We will begin in Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues to discuss, as we have been discussing, the halachas of refuah b'Shabbos, the halachas of what may one do or not do on Shabbos in terms of is it also because of refuah, as we've explained on Shabbos. Refuah is also because Chazal were concerned for shchika samamonim. Chazal were concerned that somebody will, if they are allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, they will come to make medicine on Shabbos, and making medicine on Shabbos typically involved the melacha of teichin. So says the Mishnah, hachoshi b'shina, if somebody has a toothache, lo yigameya es hachoymetz, you shouldn't swallow vinegar. Vinegar is obviously something that healthy people don't normally take, and since it's something that healthy people don't normally eat, we need to be concerned that of shika savamonim, because as we've been learning, and this is going to be a very big part of the first part of our shiur today, that anything that is a machal briyim, anything that healthy people take, so even a not well person may take, but if it's not a machal briyim, you're not allowed to eat it, because it's obvious that you're taking it l'tzorech refuah. So if it's something that swallowing vinegar, healthy people don't typically swallow vinegar, and that's why somebody who has a toothache may not do so on Shabbos. Aval metabelu kedarkoi, to eat it in a normal, just to dip your bread in it, and that's how you get vinegar into your mouth, that's acceptable. And says the Mishnah of Nisrapa, and if that's the way you will get healthy, Nisrapa, fantastic. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph has a discussion if a toothache is considered a makel shel cholol. Is it considered a disease of one of the inner avarim of the body? And we learned the other day that on a makel shel cholol, anything that's an internal wound, the halach is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So a toothache, the discussion is, if it's a makel shel cholol, then you should be allowed to do anything. So as the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Simen Shin Chav Ches Sif Gimel teaches us that indeed Ke'ev Shinayim, a toothache, is considered a makel shel cholol, for which we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos because of the rule of Sofek Nefashos Lahakol. However, that's only when the toothache is quite severe. When it's not severe, then it's not considered makel shel cholol. So obviously, our Mishnah has to be discussing a situation where it wasn't that severe. Because if the toothache in our Mishnah were very severe, then it would be mutter to do anything because it's a makel shel cholol. Hachoshish b'mosnav, if somebody has pain in the hips, he may not smear himself with wine and vinegar, because people only used to smear themselves with wine or vinegar for refuah. He could smear himself with oil. That was commonly done even when somebody didn't have a problem. However, says the Mishnah, he can't use rose oil. Rose oil is, the Ran explains, that they used to boil roses in water, and by boiling roses in water, they got this rose oil, and that is also to use because people didn't use it only for refuah. However, b'nei melachim, the princes, the wealthy people, sochen shem v'red al makaseyem, may smear rose oil on their wound, on their hips, shekein darken losuch b'chol. They even use rose oil during the week. Rav Shimon says, "Kol b'nei Yisrael, b'nei melachim heim." Everybody is considered like b'nei melachim. And the simplest way of understanding Rav Shimon's pshat is that we don't find in halacha that there's we start differentiating between different people. And what the Mishnah is coming to teach us, according to Rav Shimon, is that if it's a machal briyim, then it's a machal briyim for everybody. And if it's not a Machal Briyam, it's not a Machal Briyam for anyone. So the Mechacham Tzvi quotes that there was a minig. The minig was that in the time of, in those times, that when the Kohanim, before they went up to Duchen, we know before a Kohen goes up to Duchen, he's supposed to wash his hands. Before the Kohanim would go up to wash the hands, they used to use put rose oil into the water, and that water was then, in fact, the minig was that the leftovers of that water that the Kohanim didn't use for washing the hands, women who didn't have children would drink that leftover water, and it was a schooler that they should be able to have children. And the question is there a isser of Meilad Reyach? When you're pouring that kind of water on your hand, then your hand will get the nice smell. And the halacha is that Meilad is also on Shabbos. And the Taz discusses this in two places. And he says, in Ar Chaim Sim Resh Tezayin Sivkot Tes, and in Sim Tuf Kuf Yud Aleph Sivkot Ches, and he says that you're not allowed to put this rose oil on your hands, not on Shabbos and not on Yontif, because it's Moilad Reyach. It causes that your hand should get a pleasant smell. The Chacham Tzvi, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Chacham Tzvi, Simen Tzadik Beis, doesn't disagrees, and he says, he uses very strong words, Hanach Lem L'Yisrael, Im Eina Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im Heim, if they themselves are not Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im Heim, V'ein Issa B'davar. He says, there's no such thing as Moilad Reyach on a human being. And he brings a raya from our Gemara. He says, our Gemara says that they put, there's a discussion, if you're allowed to put, you smear yourself with rose oil or not. Tanakama says, not. Rav Shimon says, yes, because Kol B'nai Yisrael, Osir, B'nai Melachim. But if there were an Isser of Moilad Reyach, so how can we have this discussion? So the Shaul HaMeshiv says that the Chacham Tzvi's Raya is not a compelling Raya. He says that who says that rose oil is Moilad Reyach? It could be only something which is really Moilad Reyach is Osir. I'm not sure he says that this is considered something that is Moilad Reyach. The Shaul Shiavitz, which is the son of the Chacham Tzvi, he says, maybe it's only Osir when that is your intention. But if you're not intending to be Moilad Reyach, then it's Mutter. The halacha is that we're Mekel. And moreover, the Michis Yitzchak, in Shas HaTshuvas Chelik Vav, Simen Chav Vav, speaks about putting on any type of deodorant or anything that gives a pleasant smell. Is it Osir or Mutter on Shabbos? And he says that there is no issue on Shabbos of putting these things on because they're not really being Moilad Reyach. All they're doing is they're just masking the bad other odor that may be coming from the person's body. But the Michis Yitzchak in that tshuva says that he's only prepared to be lenient on the hands. He's not prepared to be lenient on the rest of the body. So begins the Gemara. Ramalei Rav Acha Aricha do Rav Acha Bapapa L'Ravuo. Rav Acha Aricha, who's Rav Acha Bapapa, asked Ravu the following question. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, HaChosh B'Shinav Lo Yigam Me'im Ben Sachamis, that if somebody has a toothache, he shouldn't rinse with vinegar. L'memra, the Chomitz Ma'al L'Shinayim. Obviously, our Mishnah's opinion is that vinegar is good for your teeth. And now the discussion is, under which circumstances may you or may you not use them on Shabbos? For Ksiv, ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Kechaymitz l'shinayim u'ka'osh l'aynayim. Like vinegar is to the teeth, so is smoke to the eyes. So certainly, smoke is not good for the eyes. So isn't that clearly indication that vinegar is not good for the teeth? Answers the Gemara l'kasha. Habakiyu the peri. One is speaking about fermented wine, v'ha b'chala, and one is from regular vinegar. In other words, they used to make vinegar in one of two ways. They used to make vinegar when they let unripe fruit ferment, and one is when they used good grapes, good wine, and they just let the wine ferment. Fruit that wasn't unripe, that is not good for the teeth. The other one is good for the teeth. Both are talking about regular vinegar. If somebody unfortunately has a toothache, then the vinegar is helpful. But if somebody doesn't have a toothache, then it's not good. When somebody has a toothache, masi, the vinegar heals him. Lekamaka, but if somebody doesn't have a toothache, mappy, actually what the vinegar does is it loosens up the gums and it causes the teeth to fall out. So we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody has a toothache, lo yigamei ben esachoymetz. But Tanya asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, lo yigamei upoilet, you're not allowed to rinse and spit it out. If you're going to rinse your mouth with vinegar and swallow the vinegar, that is permissible. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, ki tanan nami masnisen. Our Mishnah is also talking about gamei poilatanan. It's referring to a situation where somebody ejected it from the mouth. But anachanami, if you swallow it, it's not a problem. So if that's the case, ask Tosfos, the very maskal key. So the Mishnah should have told us a bigger chiddush, that if you have a toothache, if you're going to swallow the vinegar, it's fine. Why did the Mishnah say avametabel kedarkoi, that if you dip your bread into the vinegar, it's fine? So Tosfos says that normally dipping bread into vinegar was something that which was quite common in those days. Since it was quite common in those days, that's the eitzah that the Mishnah wants to give, rather than giving an eitzah of swallowing vinegar. People didn't swallow vinegar. Another pshat that I saw that the Shita Mekubetzah suggests that when the Mishnah says, Avo metabel b'kudarkoi, that's exactly what the Mishnah means. It means that you swallow the vinegar. Rav Amar, afilatam megamei b'ayle. There's a difference, not under all circumstances may you swallow the vinegar. Can, l'fnei tibul, before you started the meal, you're allowed to swallow the vinegar, because it's not obvious that you're doing it l'refuah. They used to eat a lot of vinegar during the meal, and before the meal they wanted to check the quality of the vinegar. Can l'achach tibul, if you already ate, then nobody's swallowing vinegar. So ask the Gemara if that's the difference, that there's a difference between before the meal or after the meal, but why don't we say a new concept, ask the Gemara. There's a concept on all of Shas called hoyel. If one thing is mutter, since it's mutter under these circumstances, hoyel v'ishtri ishtri. So here too, why don't we say midlfnei tibul shari, if you're saying that before the meal, you may do so. Lachatibul namishari. So then, even after the meal, you should be allowed to do so. The Shemin Leila Rava, for Ask the Gemara, we find that Rava himself is the man, the Omer, that holds Hoyel. Dama Rava, lekamidi the Bishabbos Shari. You can't have a situation where something is mutter on Shabbos or B'yom Kippurim Asr, and it should be also in Yom Kippur. Why? Because we say this concept of hoyel. Hoyel the Shabbos Shari, since it's mutter on Shabbos, even though you can make an argument that it shouldn't be mutter on Yom Kippur, but now we have the concept of hoyel. If it's mutter under one circumstances, then it's going to be mutter under other circumstance. This refers to a Gemara, a Mishnah actually, a Masech Debei Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Eimat bilim kalim b'Shabbos. Kalim that need immersion may not be done on Shabbos. Aval adam tayvul b'Shabbos. A person can immerse on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, why can't you immerse kalim on Shabbos? So Rava says, because nira k'masakin kalim. Till now you couldn't use the keli until you put it into the mikvah. So putting a keli into the mikvah on Shabbos is asur. But a person is near a kamaker. He looks like when he's going into the mikvah, he's only going to cool himself off. Yom Kippur, there's an issa of rechitza. Yom Kippur, there's a halacha of inui. So if you go into the water on Yom Kippur, then people are not going to say near a kamaker. You're going in to cool yourself off. For that may not be done on Yom Kippur. So why on Yom Kippur may you go to the mikvah? So Rava answers, Hoyel, since it's mutter on Shabbos, it also has to be mutter on Yom Kippur. So ask the Gemara, if Rava subscribes to the concept of Hoyel, so he should say it here too, that if it's mutter, if using vinegar is mutter before the meal, it should be mutter lachat meal as well. Answers the Gemara, Hada be Rava Mahach. Rava and Taid retracted from this teretz of this approach of differentiating lifnei tibul lacha tibul. Ask the Gemara, umamai the Mahach Hada be, the Mahi Hada be. Yes, we had a great question. If Rava says Hoyel, how does he differentiate? But ask the Gemara, why are we suggesting that Rava retracted from this teretz that he differentiated between lifnei tibul and lacha tibul? Why don't we say that Rava differentiated from the concept of hoyel? Answers the Gemara lo sakadatach. The Gemara did not want to assume that Rava retracted from that approach. The Tanya, because the Brice explicitly tells us, kol chayvi tefilos, whoever has to go to the mikvah, koivin kadaka could go into the mikvah, bein, but Tisha B'Av and Ben B'Yom Kippurim, both on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So we clearly see that that is Dalocha. Why is that Dalocha? Because of Hoyel. So since that's Dalocha, since we see Rava says Hoyel, if we go, that the Brisa says we should say Hoyel, we don't want to walk away from that approach. However, it's important to point out, Dalocha L'maisa, we don't paskin this way. And according to us, one may never go to the mikveh under any circumstances, not on Yom Kippur and not on Tisha B'Av. So we learned in the Mishnah, Choshish b'Masnov, if somebody has problems with his hips, he shouldn't smear himself with wine or vinegar, but he could use oil. Tanakam said, not rose oil. And Rav Shimon said that, Kol Yisrael b'nei melochim heim, and if b'nei melochim, by them, it's common to use rose oil. Everybody will have the same halacha. Amrav Abba Zavda Amrav. Halacha of Shimon. The halacha is like Rav Shimon, that Rav paskined that you could use rose oil on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, lememra the Rav kish Rav Shimon Sfirle, does that mean that Rav holds like Rav Shimon? V'hama Rav Simi bar Ash, and the way, there's a fundamental machlokes rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara is about to do. The Gemara is troubled by saying that Rav holds like Rav Shimon. Why? Because we're going to bring a Gemara where we see the Rav doesn't agree with Rav Shimon. So the obvious question, which all the Rishonim ask, Tosfos and the Ramban and Rashba, asks that just because Rav doesn't follow the opinion of Shimon in one place halacha, doesn't mean he can't follow the opinion of Shimon in another place in halacha. So maybe in this halacha, of regarding Shimon Vered, that's where Rav agrees with Rav Shimon. And in other places, he doesn't agree with Rav Shimon. So the Rashba says that if Rav holds like Rav Shimon in Hilchos Shabbos, he has to hold like Rav Shimon throughout Hilchos Shabbos. But the Rashba himself says, Teretz Zeh Eina Mishyashev Al Alev. This Teretz really doesn't seem to be very sensible, because we know throughout halacha that there is no such a thing that an amora is obligated to follow the opinion of one tana throughout. You could paskin like one tana in one place and like another tana in another place. So Tosfos takes a different approach. He says that the reason Rav holds, that Rav Shimon holds, you're allowed to use Shem Vred, is because it goes back to a concept that we learned from Shimon many times. That Dovish and Miskavin, Mutter, something that you don't do with a Kavanah to do a Melacha Shabbos is Mutter. So Rav Shimon holds that if you're smearing yourself for enjoyment, even though you're going to have a refuah, that's called a Dovish and a Miskavin. And now the Gemara is saying, how could you, Rav, say that you paskin like Rav Shimon? Because obviously you hold that Dovish and a Miskavin is Mutter. I'm going to show that Rav holds that Dovish and a Miskavin is Osur. The Rashba asks that we see that in our Mishnah, it has nothing to do with Dovish and a Miskavin. So what are we saying? The Rav, we have a stira. If Rav Paskin is like Rav Shimon in our Mishnah, he obviously holds Dovish and a Miskavin Mutter, and now we're going to bring a place where we saw, where we see that Rav holds Dovish and a Miskavin as Osur. Our Mishnah was very clear that Rav Shimon's opinion is based on Kol B'nai Yisrael B'nai Melochim. Says the Gemara, Hai Maskar, where do we see that Rav doesn't hold this opinion? Because the Pasuk speaks about there was a case of Maskarta the Nezraisa, the stopper of a barrel, says Rav, Osla Dukka B'Yom Tov. You can't push it into the hole on Yom Tov, and there's a very big machloikus what the Isser is. Rashi explains that the Isser is Soichet, which is a tolda of Dosh. So as Rabbeinu Tam, it's Toisus, Masechta Ksubas, Vav Amar Aleph, Devarei Maskel, Hai, quotes this Rabbeinu Tam, that another Rishonim learned that the Isser is Libun, that you're making the stopper get clean by squeezing out the water or whatever is in it, the wine that's in it. So Rabbeinu Tam says that both of these pshatim are difficult to understand. Soichet, which is a tolda of dosh, is only osur when what the liquid that you squeeze out you want to have. But if the liquid that you want to squeeze out goes to waste, then there is no issur soichet. We learned this halacha regarding someone who milks a cow on Shabbos. The halacha is that if somebody milks a cow on Shabbos, the cow is in pain, so you have to milk it. Of course, the best is through an akum or a shinui, but if you let the milk go to waste, there is no issue because there's no meleches dosh when you empty the udders of the cow. So here too, what you're squeezing is going libud. And then in terms of melabid of cleaning it, also that it's red wine or it's wine. You're not cleaning anything by squeezing out this from that stopper. So Rabbeinu Tam explains that we have to be speaking about a situation where the wine is going back into the barrel when you squeeze the stopper in. And since you're squeezing it into the barrel, that's why it's considered the Malach of Soichet. Other Rishonim say that the Oruch, that the Libun that we're discussing here is not Libun Daraisa, it's Libun Drabonim. Which this opens up the question, if somebody has a wet napkin or a wet towel, paper towel, and he's using it to clean his table on Shabbos, is it mutter or osur? And the same question comes up when somebody has these wet wipes that they use to clean their children. Is there a problem of soicher on them? So Ramosha in the Shalos Tshuvos, Igros Moshe, Oru Chaim, Chelik Beis, Simon Ayin, says that since whatever liquid comes out of that napkin, out of that towel, goes to waste. And we're learning here that Schita Le'ibud is not Yasser. And certainly over here that the Schita, you're not interested in cleaning this napkin, this towel, you're going to throw it out. And therefore, Rav Moshe held it's mutter. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosoi quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman. He says, if you don't squeeze it very tight to directly cause the liquid come out, so it's not a psik ratio that liquid will come out. And even if liquid does come out at that point, it's not considered a psik ratio, and therefore it's mutter. And again, that is the psak of Rav Shevet Halevi as well, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Shevet Halevi, Chelek Ches, Simen Nun Tes. But again, and now, here Rav clearly held, not like Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon is the Man Dama that always holds, the Dava Sherem Skaven is mutter, and here he says you can't put in that stopper, even because we're worried that it's going to cause Schita. Answers the Gemara, by he, I feel Rav Shimon Moida. Ask the Gemara, but how could you say that Rav Paskin like Rav Shimon? So if Rav Paskin is like Rav Yehuda, why over here, as we discussed before, can he Paskin like Rav Shimon? Ella Omer Rava, Ani V'Ari Shebechabur Targimna, I and Ari Shechabur, the lion, the most important person in the group, explain this. Manu, who is the Tana? Who was that? Who is the Ari Shechabur? Rav Chiya Bar Oven, the Loch Rav Shimon. The locha by Shem Vered is like Rav Shimon. However, v'lab metamei, not for the reason that Rav Shimon gave. Ella, the reason he gave it is the reason he passed in that way is for a different point. It's for a different reason. My time alok Rav Shimon v'lab metamei. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Ilay alok Rav Shimon the shari. If you're going to say that the locha like Rav Shimon that says you're allowed to use rose oil, v'lab metamei, but not for his reasoning. The Ilay Rav Shimon sover. Rav Shimon says that Shem Vered Masi causes a person to get well, but Rav Shimon holds that even though it's a refuah, Kol B'nai Yisrael, Kol Yisrael B'nai Melochem Heim, and therefore it looks like something that healthy people do, and it's mutter. And Rav holds Shemin Loi Masi, that the Shem Vered doesn't cause a person to get altogether better. Ask the Gemara, the Sover Rav, Vloimasi, is it possible to say that it doesn't cause somebody to get better? But Mektani, our Mishnah clearly indicated, B'nai Melochim Sochem Agabim Makasem Shem Vered, the B'nai Melochim use Shem Vered, Mechlal, it's obvious, the Masi, otherwise why are you using it? Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand. Ela Alocha Karav Shimon, the Shari, the Alocha Sochem Shimon that you allowed to use Shem Vered, Vloim Metameh. Dealer of Shimon Sover, Avgav Deloy Shriach, even though it's not common to use Shem and Vered, and therefore you can, Rav Shimon holds, like we explained when we learned the Mishnah, you can't differentiate between people. And since B'nai Melochim are allowed to use Shem and Vered, everybody's allowed to use Shem and Vered. Rav Sover, Ishriach in, V'iloy Shriach loy. It depends where you live. If it's Shriach, then you're not allowed to use Shem and Vered. Then you're allowed to use Shem Vered, because everybody uses Shem Vered if it's common. Eloi Shriach, if it's not common, then you may not use Shem Vered. Or Ba'asur, the Rav, and where Rav lived, Shriach Meshcha Devarda, it was common. And therefore, that's the reason that it may be used. But here we saw a very interesting point, that the Gemara teaches us that something which is not Masi, something which doesn't bring a refuah, everybody says you're allowed to use. So the Taz already discusses, is somebody allowed to take a sleeping pill on Shabbos? So he says that a sleeping pill doesn't cause a person to get well. The person just has some reason that he's not able to sleep, and the sleeping pill helps him calm down and make him be able to sleep. So he says that anything which doesn't cause a refuah, that's mutter. And therefore, he says that you could use a sleeping pill on Shabbos. Particularly, the Ktzais HaShulchan, and I saw the Tzitz Eliezer as well, add one more point to this. As we've been discussing in our shiurim, the concern of taking medicine is shchikas hamamonim. That if we allow somebody to take medicine on Shabbos, he may come to make the medicine on Shabbos. So I saw that the Paiskim want us the Tzoyis HaShulchan and the Tzitz Eliezer want to suggest that b'zman hazeh nobody makes their medicine alone at home. There's nobody that manufactures their own medicine. So the gzeir of Chazal of Shrika Samamonim, that if I'm going to allow you to take medicine, you may come to make the medicine and be over the malach of Toichen on Shabbos, doesn't apply b'zman hazeh, where we don't make our own medicines. Of course, this is not a heter that one should easily apply, because it's a het, because once Chazal say something is asur, it's also under all circumstances, even if the reason of the gzeiros Chazal no longer is applicable. Hanun loch shmanei shrotzim, hanun loch shmanei shrotzim, hanun loch shmanei shrotzim. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, we begin the perek of Eilek Sharim. Eilek Sharim, as the name obviously implies, is the perek that discusses the halacha of kosher umater, the halacha of when you may or may not make, what type of a nat may you or may you not make on Shabbos. So the Mishnah teaches us Ve'eluk Sharim on the following types of nats, Shechayov Maleim, Yechayiv, a Kom Chattis, you made such a nat on Shabbos, Kesher Gemolim, the Kesher, and the Gemara will right away explain what this means, the Kesher that they get, that they made by the camels, the Kesher Asafonim, and the Kesher that they made by boats. And says the Mishnah, Kshem Shechayiv Akshurim, just like there's a Chiyiv for making a gnat, Kachu Chayiv Alaterim, there's a Isser of Matir, of untying a gnat. Ramei Oimer, Kol Sheshiyochel Atir Ba'achs Miyadov, any kesher that you can undo with one of your hands, Ein Chayovim Alov, you're not Chayiv for making such a kesher, is not considered significant enough kesher that you should be Chayiv for on Shabbos. So as we learned previously on Daf Ayin Dalar on the base, where do we find the Malacha of Kosher in the Mishkan? So the Gemara says that they found it in two places. One was the people who made the Urias, that when they used to make the Urias on the Mishkan, sometimes the thread that they were working with would snap and they would have to tie the two sides together. And the second is the Tzaydei Chalozin. We know that the Chalozin was a very important need. There was an important need to have the Chalozin fish in the Mishkan, because that was the fish that produced the Tchelis, the blue wool. And they used to put out nets to catch that Chalozin. And to make the nets, they used to tie the parts of the net together. The melacha of matter was also, sometimes they used to make the nets bigger, and sometimes they used to make the nets smaller. So therefore, they had the melacha of matter. There's a very fundamental issue that we have to speak about. There are two different melachas that seem to be very similar, but are not. One is the melacha of kosher, of tying a knot together, and one is the melacha of teifer. What is the melacha of kosher different than the melacha of teifer? The melacha of kosher is when you tie two things together with the type of knot that we're going to be discussing extensively in our shiur today. But when you tie them together, they still remain two separate things. You just tie them together. You might have tied them together very tightly, but they're still two separate objects. When you have the malacha of teifer, when you is like sewing, when you sew two things together, they become one. There's a fundamental machloikus rishonim. What is, when are you over the malacha of kosher? According to the Rif and Rambam, you have to have two conditions to be over the malacha of kosher. You have to have a kesher shel kayama. And that's a very important issue. What is the definition of a kesher shel kayama? Some say it's 24 hours. Some say it's 7 days. And it also has to be a mais uman. It has to be a professional type of knot. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that unless you have both of those conditions, it's not considered that you did the melechus kosher. Rashi and the Rosh disagree with the Rif and the Rambam, and they hold that as long as it's kesher shel kayoma, the halacha is that it's considered osur. And as we're going to learn in our Gemara, there are really 3 degrees. Something which is a kesher shel kayoma, something which is meant to last is osur b'daraisa, something which is not really meant to last, but on the other hand, it's not meant to be there just for a short amount of time, as osur m'drabanan. And something which is meant to open and close regularly is mutter altogether. But according to them, the only condition that needs to be met is it shel kayama or is it not shel kayama. And we pask, and the Ramah paskins like Rashi and Rosh, that the only condition that has to be met is it a kesher shel kayama or not. But again, when we speak about kesher shel kayama, and as we just said, to be over the malach of kshir medaraisa, it has to be shel kayama. So there's a machloikis rish achroinim how to approach this. Some achroinim take the approach, this is the opinion of the Bach and the Taz, that it depends on the person who makes the knot. If the person who makes the knot intended that it should be shel kayama, then it's a kesher shel kayama. And if it's not something that was his intention, then it's not a kesher shel kayama. However, other achroinim, and that's the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins in the Bi'ah Halacha Simen Shin Yud Zayin Divrei HaMaskel HaKosher, he says that if it's a tight knot, a very b'chiddush, if it's a tight knot, even if you made a tight knot and with the intention of undoing it fairly soon, according to the Bi'ah Halacha, that would be kesher shel kayama. Many times when we've had in our Masechta the Melachos, which involved undoing something, for example, we had the Melacha of Soyser. So the Gemara was very clear, by Soyser, you only chayiv, but Soyser amanas livnois. So the question is, when we speak about the Melacha of Matir, which our Mishnah just mentioned, is Matir only when Matir amanas livnois, Matir amanas likshar, or Matir Melacha even when it's not amanas Likshar. So there's a big machlokes rishonim. Tosfos earlier in our Masechta Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph Divrei HaMaskel HaKosher discussed this subject, and Tosfos over there said that it's a machlokes rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions. And LaLocha the Mishnah Berurah says we should be machmer that matter is even chayiv even when it's shloy amanas likshar, when that is not your intention. The Avnei Nezer in the Shalos Tshuvos, Orech Chaim Simen Kuf Pei Gimel, discusses that the kesher on the tefillin have to be a kesher shel kayama. And therefore, he discusses the Shaila, if somebody borrows tefillin from somebody else, and I don't have my tefillin available, so I borrow someone else's tefillin, and his head is a different size than my head. So am I allowed to undo the knot to make it fit my head? So he says, no, because I'm going to undo the knot, and then I'm going to give the tefillin back to my friend, and he's going to make it back to his size. So it's not, so that wasn't a kesher shel kayama. And the Torah, when it speaks about the kesher and the tefillin, says it has to be ukshartim. And the definition, as we're learning in our shir, is the definition of ukshartim means that it has to be on a kesher shel kayama. He says that, however, Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Micha Shlomo Tinyana Simon Aleph of Cotton Gimel disagrees with Avdi Nezer. He says that if we say that the kesher shel ena shel kayama is not a kesher at all, so then I understand what the Avnei Nezer says. He says, we're not saying, and we just spoke about this, that a kesher, she'ena shel kayama, is not a kesher. It's just not, for Shabbos, to be chayiv, you have to have a kesher shel kayama. And therefore, even though the kesher that I'm making on the tefillin which I borrowed is not a kesher shakayama, it's still considered a kesher. That's one point he makes. And then he makes another practical consideration. He says, when somebody borrows tefillin from someone else, he doesn't completely undo the kesher. What he does is he loosens the kesher that there is on the tefillin that I borrowed, and then I start to adjust it to fit to my size. It's only considered kosher, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you take something and that's completely untied and tie it together. But something which was already tied and you're just adjusting, that isn't considered kosher. The question that the Achroinim also discuss, let's say somebody, it's the way I saw Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita to discuss this question, there was a chassan who received from his kala, from his father-in-law, a new talis with tzitzis, as is very common the minig, before he became a chassan. And he got, in fact, two talisim, a talis for during the week and a talis for Shabbos. And it's Shabbos Sheva Brachos in the morning. And he takes out his talis and he realizes that he didn't put a tzitzis on. Now he's very embarrassed to come to shul on Shabbos Sheva Brachos. His father-in-law is expecting him to wear the talis, maybe with an atara, that he bought him a beautiful talis, and he's not going to have it because he forgot he was to put on the tzitzis. So the question is, are you allowed to put tzitzis on a talis on Shabbos? So he says, and of course this person knows, as we're learning in our shiur today, that a kesher shakayama, something which is meant to be there permanently, is asur. So he intends, he'll tie the tzitzis on Shabbos morning when he realized this situation, but he'll take them off on, he'll undo those tzitzis by Matzoi Shabbos. So according to all opinions, that's not a kesher shakayama. The Prima Gadim says he can't. Because since people who normally put on tzitzis leave them there all the time, that there's no heter with your intention. The Miches Chinuch says a different pshat. He says that since you're tying the tzitzis, l'shei mitzvah tzitzis, he says that tying it l'shei mitzvah tzitzis makes it considered, the mitzvah gives it the chshivas of a kesher shel kayama, even though it was not your intention to make it into a kesher shel kayama. The Miches Chinuch also says there's a consideration of mak bepatish when you put the tzitzis on the beged. The Bi'a Halacha, as we just mentioned, has a different reason why you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Because according to the Beis Meir, when we speak about kesher, it's not your intention which we take into consideration. What we take into consideration is it a tight knot? And therefore, if that's your intent, you're making a tight knot by putting the tzitzis on the beged, that's why it's usher. The Miches Shloima, in that shuva that we just quoted, says a different reason. He says that when you're creating a new situation, you're tying the tzitzis that you didn't have before, that is always considered a ma'isek shira, and therefore may not be done on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, my kesha and the molim kesha svanim. So the Mishnah spoke about the kesha and the molim and the kesha svanim, which may not be made on Shabbos. Ilema kitra de katri bezmama, the kitra de katri bistraja, when they used to leave the camel, they used to tie the camel to a post. When they used to bring the boat to port, they used to tie the boat to the port. Hai kesher shena shel kayamahu. Ask the Gemara, that's not a kesher shel kayama. Ella, says the Gemara, kitra des mama gufei. The Mishnah speaking about the knot in the nose itself, a distri gufei. The way they used to do is they used to make a hole in the nose of the camel, and in that hole they would put permanently a rope that was attached to the camel. And then when they needed, so to speak, to park the camel, they used to tie it to a post. So indeed, the second knot wasn't permanent because they just had it there as long as they keep the camel there. But the first knot was permanent. And the same thing with a boat. A boat, they didn't keep there permanent, but they kept it only, but the hole that they, the rope that they put into the ring that was in front of the boat, that was a permanent pole. Remei Omer called kesher, any kesher that you can't tie with on one hand is not a kesher. Says the Mabarach Tuvid Min Acha, a Nivel Rabbi Mahu. What about a bowl? Tamid Rameya, Shum the Yochel Atir Bachs Miyadavu, is the reason for Ramei that's not considered a kesher is because you could untie it with one hand. Vainami Yochel Atiroi. Oidumba, Tamid Ramey Mishum Dalai Mahedik, it's not tight. Vahamahedik, and this is tight, even though it's a bowl. And the Gemara remains with a teiku. It's interesting to point out that even though that when we speak about the halacha of kesher, there's many issues that come up. And one of the places that we need to talk about it is when we tie the gartel, the rope around the Sefer Torah. So there's many questions that how could we tie it? So the Shulchan Aruch at Siman Shin Yud Zayin Sif Aleph says that a tzorich mitzvah, we could tie a kesher she'ena shel kayoma. So since this is not going to be there forever, we're going to use the Sefer Torah again, then we could be more lenient. Because the big question is that if you're tying the gartel around the Sefer Torah on Thursday, and the next time you're going to lane is on Shabbos, so you're going to have a problem of matir. Or if you tie it Shabbos by mincha, and the next time you're going to lane is on Monday. So if you hold that the shear is 7 days, then it's not a problem. But if we hold that the shear is 1 day, then we have a very big issue. Another reason we could be makel is because it had, according to the Shulchan Aruch, not according to the Ramah, as we spoke about earlier, the halacha is that tying that if it's not a maisa uman, if it's not a professional knot, there is no issue of kesher shel kayoma. So the knot that's tied by the Sefer Torah is not a maisa uman, so it's another reason to be makel. The paiskim are makel, but they say we should, if best would be not to make a kesher gabi kesher. But if that was the bowl, you open your Sefer Torah Shabbos in the morning, and that's what you find, then you're allowed to open it up. What therefore is better is nowadays most places use a hook, not something that you tie. And when it's a hook, then many, it's much easier. Another interesting psak that I saw from the Cheshuke Chemed, he quotes the Miches Yitzchak in Chelik Tes Simen Yotes. He says, in the years where the Kriyas HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz are not the same parsha, so let's say somebody comes to Eretz Yisrael on a for Shabbos, and that Shabbos, they're already a parsha ahead of where we are, we in Chutz La'aretz are up to. So what should he do? He's going to go to shul, but all the shuls he's going to go to are reading a parsha ahead, and he's going to miss a parsha. So Miches Yitzchak says it's appropriate, it's always appropriate to do Shnai Mikra V'Echetargim, but he says under those circumstances, do Shnai Mikra V'Echetargim from a Sefer Torah. The Cheshuke Chemed says that if somebody's doing Shnai Mikvech Targum from a Sefer Torah under those circumstances, he should not, if the Sefer Torah has a knot, so we're discussing there's a real issue in opening that up on Shabbos. Such a knot may not be opened, and for just for Shnai Mikvech Targum, we have no right to open such a knot. Says the Mishnah, Yesh Lecha Ksharm She'en Chayovan Lebekesher Gemal Kesher Sfarim. There are certain knots that there is no problem as there is by Kesher Gemal and Kesher Sfonim. Kshes Isha Meftei Chalukah, a woman could tie and open the parts of her garment, the Chuti Sefcha, or the strings of her hat, the Shalpaski of her girdle, the Tzuos Min of a sandal, the straps of a shoe or a sandal, the Noidus Yayin V'Shemen, or the leather canteens of wine or oil, the Gdeir Shabasar, or sometimes they used to tie the pot, the lid of the pot. You could tie an animal that shouldn't be able to wander away. Ask the Gemara Hagufa Kasha. We need to understand the opening words of our Mishnah. Amrit, Yesh Ksharm She'en Chayavon L'Kesha Gemal L'Kesha Sfonim. The Deik is, Chiyuv D'Leka, there is no Issa D'Raisa, Ha'isur Ika, but it's Asa Medrabonin. Bahadatani, and then our Mishnah says that kasheris isha maftei chaluka, that a woman could tie her garment afil chatchila. So how do we understand our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara Hachikama. There's certain knots that are not chayv at all, like the kasha gmal and kasha svanim, but the tzchayv and the rabbanon amay nihu kitri the katri b'zmama. The knot which you throw which you tie through the nose ring, that is left sometimes for a while. Kitri the katri b'stadia. Chiyuvu deleka, and those situations nazo chiyuv haysura ika, there would be an issur drabanan because it's going to be there for a certain amount of time. There's again, like we said before, there are different opinions. Some say a week or two, some say 7 days, and some say even just 24 hours. V'yesh shemitarim l'chatchila, and certain nats are muta even l'chatchilu. My new, what is an example of that? If a woman is opening and closing her garment, that is mutar l'chatchila.